This is The Dinosaur's Descendants, written by Mark Ellsbury, narrated by Peter Pollock. Prologue. Kabul, Afghanistan. The tall man, wearing a shabby grey robe with a deep hood obscuring his entire head, walked out of the employee entrance of the Safi Landmark Hotel. He appeared to be destitute, possibly homeless, even though he had just given a high-ranking representative of Al-Qaeda $50 million to blow up the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. This terror attack was to occur on New Year's Day in front of a huge worldwide television audience. He had also promised an additional $50 million upon successful completion of the task. As the strange figure disappeared into the shadows of an alley in downtown Kabul, he reflected upon the status of his plan to this point. His chosen profession as a field operative gave him a feeling of intense power. He could study the past, present, and future of his subjects, and then determine how best to bend their actions to his will. Ever since he had been chosen, at the age of 5, for an elite and highly secretive organization, he had been training to handle this type of assignment. Now he would return to his superiors to consult about the next steps required to continue advancing this, the biggest, most important mission he would ever be given. The very survival of his country, and possibly his entire civilization, was at stake. Mission 1 from White Sands. Open the hatch for precisely 2 minutes to quickly observe the surroundings, announced the vessel's computer. Then close the hatch and secure your seatbelt for the return trip. Ellie Johnson quickly climbed a ladder leading to the hatch. Opening was fast, requiring only the push of a button. Outside the vessel, she saw a peaceful plain with small, scrub-like pine trees intermixed with flowering shrubs. The sky was a vivid blue, and the sun burned hotter than she ever remembered. The landscape looked the same in all directions except for what appeared to be a pile of rocks about 40 feet to Ellie's left. The scenery was beautiful, but did not provide a single clue as to its identity. The real purpose of this brief trip was to determine if a passenger could survive a round trip in the vessel. The short observation period was an attempt to gather any evidence that the system had placed the vessel near the desired target. Scanning quickly in all directions, Ellie could see nothing that would help verify her current location. After the 2-minute interval, 3 beeps announced that the hatch would automatically close. As it began to move, there was a loud roaring sound that startled Ellie. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw the pile of rocks appear to move. The hatch closing meant she could not investigate the actual cause of the noise or the movement. For this first test only, the vessel was programmed to return to its origin with no option for control by the passenger, in case the passenger was somehow incapacitated during the trip. Chapter 1. Carcassonne, France. In southern France, tourists swarmed over the beautiful medieval town of Carcassonne. They were frantically trying to fit their itineraries into their allotted holiday time before the fall storms descended upon the area. Today had been spectacular, a brilliant sunny day with a robin's egg blue sky. When the sun started to approach the western end of its daily route, dark clouds began to gather about the mountain tops to the south. On the east side of a narrow cobblestone street, within the medieval walls of the old city, was a small souvenir shop. The owner, Wazim Darzi, locked the shop's door so he could retire to his living quarters above. It had been a good sales day, and now it would be nice to relax and offer a prayer of thanks to Allah. The phone rang shrilly and startled him. Living a highly secretive life,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?